really know what causes the delays? Excuse me. Is this a stopgap measure that will be retrieved in another few months? If so, let's wait, slow down, and get all the players together and come up with a competent, thorough plan. This new proposal does not streamline the process at all, nor reduce time. While I agree with the idea of panels, but three is too small a number. Either add in some PRB community members or increase the size of the CRC and have five member panels. I believe public comment is critical and necessary. CRC is a civilian body, and part of our responsibility is to hear the public. This is non-negotiable. One change from the original proposal that should be implemented is changing standards of review from reasonable decision to preponderance of the evidence. Lastly, this is a very complex issue. More time and broader group perspective would create a better, a better overall system change. Vice Chair Julie Ramos.
Thank you very much. Okay.
The next three are Kristen Malone, Jim Young, and Keosha Ford.
Okay. Go ahead, please. Kristen, you want to go first? Go ahead.
Yes. My name is Kristen Malone. I'm the current chair of the CRC. Earlier this evening, we had up to seven CRC members here to express their comments. I have the written comments of a couple more, and I hope that I can have a bit of extra time to add those to my testimony.
Or submit them, too, because I think we're going to be continuing this hearing. So.
Excellent. There are two changes to the CRC's process that are contained in the proposed changes presented to you tonight. The first is changing the CRC's quorum for appeals from 5 to 3. The goal of this change is to increase the number of appeals we can hear per month. And to the extent that the CRC's frequency is actually the cause of the delay in the appeal process, and I think you've heard some testimony to the effect that it might not actually be the linchpin here, I do support the change. In theory, this could permit up to 3 three-person hearings per month. But to better ensure that we have a quorum at those meetings, I would recommend increasing the CRC size, as you've heard also. Although a three-member quorum would be helpful, I would hope still in those meetings to be able to get larger groups to increase diversity. The second proposed change is the one I implore council to reject. This change eliminates public comment from hearings where appeals are heard. As things stand now, we hear public comment twice, first before we vote, and then again after the appeal has concluded and before everybody leaves. I believe both periods of comment are valuable, but at a minimum, the public must be afforded some chance to be heard at these meetings. As an example of valuable comments we hear during the appeal, citizens identify the failure of participants on the CRC to address relevant portions or issues and directives we review, and they respond to facts already discussed by meeting participants, and they can provide input on non-substantive procedural questions that we face. For example, we received public comment when the Bureau did not send members to an appeal as to whether we should proceed without them or wait and reschedule to another date. As for after the appeal concludes, it's important for the community and the CRC to discuss substantive and procedural issues raised in the appeal. Failing to permit this will limit the amount of feedback the CRC receives, which is part of our mission. It will damage the relationship of trust between the CRC and the community, and it will make CRC meetings more unruly, not less. If the auditor is concerned about the amount of time CRC members need to put in, having to have two meetings to hear issues raised in one appeal is overburdensome. And while there are many changes that can and should be examined to improve our process, and I hope and trust that the city will examine and pursue these, I urge the committee to reject the elimination of public comment.
Thank you. Yeah, and if you could submit those other items, too, to Carla, we'll make sure everybody gets to see them. So thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. James Young. I've been a member of the CRC or attending its meetings for almost 6 years. Like the chair, I do support the auditor's proposal only as an initial interim step pending consideration of the issues that other speakers have raised, in which I hope to have time to briefly address, so I will by written comment, except for the elimination of public comment. I will be suggesting an alternative that can help accomplish the goals proposed by the auditor, as well as preserving meaningful public comment. Aside from hearing appeals faster, it appears that the other goals of the auditor can be reduced to saying that they're seeking a professional, fair, and biased hearing for both the appellant and the police officer, free from political or public pressure, so that the decision is made solely in applying the facts to the applicable standard. And I hope we talk about eventually changing that standard. One of the things that have not been mentioned is that the police officers involved ignore the CRC. During my almost 6 years of either being actively participating or observing as a citizen, I've seen a police officer present once. This is disrespectful. They are public servants. The city is their employer and the public. But there has to be a process so that it is fair to everyone. At a meeting in City Hall a few years ago with one of our work groups, Gerald Turner was present. He was specifically asked, why don't police officers attend? His response, because of the verbal abuse or degrading comments that are made. The suggestions that I will have at the end will help address those. The presence of officers, I suggest, are important. Number one, out of respect for the appellant in the entire process, they are public servants. Number two, what they don't get to see is, regardless of their intent on the street, how an appellant might perceive their actions from the appellant's background. And it can be a learning experience where everybody wins. The suggested approach that I have is that public comment can be allowed by majority vote of the appellate panel after the appeals decision is made. This would allow, assuming that the hearing is conducted in an orderly manner, and that some hearings can last 4 or 5 hours, and if it's 10 o'clock and people are tired, to be honest, public comment is not going to be digested well anyway. But the point is, it can be allowed immediately after the hearing while it's fresh in everyone's mind and not delayed to another hearing or a special meeting, rather, of the CRC. And I'm happy to, I've even got some specific language as a former DA and city attorney that I'm happy to share with the city attorney staff. But please understand, this can only be an interim first step. The standard of review is simply not functional. Second, what I like to call the jurisdiction of the CRC, officer-involved shootings, in-custody deaths, the very issues that are most important to the community, there is no meaningful civilian police oversight. So please look at this and the auditor's suggestion as an initial first step to look at the broader picture.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And good evening again. Kiasha Ford, the CRC member. So contrary to my fellow members, I am in opposition to, number one, the public comment aspect being removed in the proposal. It is very concerning that a citizens review oversight body would reduce public comment or eliminate it. The public is who we are serving. We are serving a group of people that are saying they feel that they might be oppressed by police officers or they're having confrontations. And this is their only opportunity to be heard. So to allow IA to provide a detailed, in-depth investigation, to even have a captain explain an officer's rationale who has not shown up his or herself to explain that rationale, but then to deny someone who is passionate about what is going on to not speak on something they might have personally observed or encountered is a disservice, not only to ourselves, but to the city. And yes, we are volunteering, but we volunteer with that time and understanding that we are taking it very seriously. And as a result of that seriousness, we would like to hear all sides. With regards to the three-member panels, as a member of the CRC who believes in the importance of diversity and diverse ideas and different backgrounds, it would be very concerning to reduce 11-member body down to 3-member panels. I do think that some members have more vocal opinions and are more direct and could influence someone else. There could be a 2-to-1 vote all the time, and that would be concerning. I might not be on that panel. Ms. Ramos might not be on the panel. Mr. Rivera might not be on the panel. And I would be very concerned about the lack of diversity in that scenario. In addition to the concerns that the auditor has addressed with time constraints and the delays and missing the 21-day mark, we have to really evaluate exactly what are those constraints. And I haven't heard enough discussion about it, so that raises concerns. In addition to being a member of the CRC and discussing proposed changes, impacting directly the CRC without input from the CRC is an additional concern of mine. Because we are the ones doing the work. We are the ones volunteering the time. Mr. Young is the one who had water thrown on him. He did not retreat and stop attending meetings. He continued to come because he believes in the work we are doing. So we are asking that you take the same seriousness that we take with our job and review this proposal with more input and do not rush to a decision. Lastly, I do not want the CRC to ever become a stamp of approval body. And with our current standard of review, sometimes I feel that is the juxtaposition that we are in. I don't always follow exactly the current standard of review because sometimes it is very unreasonable the actions of some of our members that are city servants serving the public. Some of those actions are quite unreasonable, and I cannot with good conscience vote in favor of a captain's decision when it is clear that there has been inappropriate behavior. And I feel we are always pushed against that envelope and that rock between a hard place every time we have a hearing and we are reviewing the reasonable person standard. So I highly suggest they consider adding back to the proposal the preponderance of the evidence. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay, let's take the next folks, please.
Okay, Michael Luna left. Is that correct? Okay. Then we'll go with Julie Frank, Marilyn Dricus, and David Davis.
Okay, Mr. Davis is here. The others, any of the others still here? What's that? Sure, sure. Come put that in the record. And while Mr. Davis is getting settled.
Mr. Luna, who's also a CRC member, wrote, "One of our roles as a CRC member is to be a representative of the community. If we are not allowed to hear public comment during our hearings, then I believe we would be failing in this role. The public that is attending the hearing have an opportunity to hear information from the case, and presently they can comment or ask questions regarding this information presented. These comments could bring a factual and logical perspective and therefore be valuable in the overall decision-making."
Great. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Davis, you're on.
So one thing I wanted to say, Steve Novick over there is pointing out all this stuff about volunteers. Well, the truth is volunteers usually work harder than people that are paid and overpaid like you. So you should respect volunteer work instead of trying to degrade it, okay? And this whole process of making these meetings secretive is totally criminal, you know? You're trying to exclude the community, you know? There's people getting beaten, mistreated, all kinds of stuff on the streets all the time by police officers. And, you know, just like these members of the CRC said, that they already have to dismiss cases where they'd like to take them, you know. And, you know, these secretive meetings is not the way to conduct business. And this discipline system is already secretive and behind closed doors. This is just an attempt to push it further behind closed doors, you know? And the IPR is understaffed. They have limited power. Maybe you need to increase the staff, maybe double it in size, and actually increase their power. And, you know, a recently published article in the Willamette Week reported that a former police officer, Portland police officer Cody Byrne, who fatally shot Keaton Otis, is now a prosecutor. The Multnomah County District Attorney stand by their hiring decision to hire a murderous cop who executed a mentally ill man via police firing squad. Okay? So that just shows that the level of corruption in this county goes even further to the prosecutors and everything else. And this whole the whole idea of police accountability is a joke anyways, and it's non-existent in this country and in this city, and that's obviously proof right there that you have the DA officer office hiring a murderous cop who shot a mentally ill guy unarmed, shot him 11 He fired 11 of the 32 shots, okay?
Thank you.
So you, and James Chassis was beaten to death approximately 10 years ago by the Portland police. And that's one of the reasons that a lot of these police reform things have taken part in the DOJ settlement. And there's going to be a night of rage outside of the Justice Center, 8 p.m., September 17th, Saturday, and we'll be marching in the streets to do something about this, you know?
Thank you very much.
And
thank you. Let's let the next person speak, okay?
No, actually, you delayed my time for 2 hours, so I get to speak.
We have some other folks that would like to speak, Mr. Davis.
Sorry. You know? And what about my broken camera, you know?
Okay, Mr. Davis, thank you very much. Let's let this next person speak, okay? Mr. Davis, you're done. Mr. Davis, you're done. It's late, and we have people that want to speak. Are we going to have to recess in order to let somebody else speak? All right, let's let somebody else speak. No, it's just trying to... Mr. Davis, please. Okay, thank you. Let's this person speak. Go ahead, please.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Marilyn Drinkus. I'm a private citizen. To my knowledge, the Portland Police Department has been under federal oversight to reform some of its practices to better serve our community in a just manner, one that engenders mutual respect and trust between the police and the community. An independent citizen review committee is an integral part of this equation. Otherwise, law enforcement is policing itself. That is not an open democratic approach to serving a community. We need each other. It benefits both the police and the community to work together in an open democratic manner of checks and balances. An expanded police review board operating behind closed doors and no independent citizen review committee with public hearings does not meet this criterion and does not engender mutual trust. So I ask you to please consider all the comments that have been made here this evening in light of that.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you very much. Okay, others?
I have Peter Parks, Mike Bluehair, and Jason Renard.
Come on up.
And the last person I showed signed up is Eric Terrell.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm right here, man.
Go ahead.
Oh, goodness. Hi there, Mayor Harrells, Amanda, Steve.
Just put your name in the record before you start.
Oh, Mike Blue here. I'm here speaking on behalf of Film the Police Portland. Public comment, free speech. It's the hallmark of a free and open society. You can't have a free society without freedom of expression. Okay, maybe people say things you don't like, but that's the point of the U.S. Constitution. Okay, the Oregon Constitution actually has more broadly defined freedom of expression and protections for the individual than the U.S. Constitution. So these are things you shouldn't be treading upon. I mean, seriously, the point of the U.S. Constitution really is to protect unpopular, offensive speech, because one day what the government might find offensive is merely people trying to protect themselves, merely people trying to defend their individual rights to express themselves against government. And that's the point. So I just implore you to think about what hallmarks of a free and open society is, and one of them is public comment, public discourse. Also, the fact that this was delayed so long and the CRC people didn't even get a chance to speak is an insult to them. They work really hard. Okay, I don't like where they're going. I believe that city government, the police union, Portland Police Bureau is pressuring them into feeling disheartened, and we shouldn't do that. We have a very unique process for police accountability, We need to cherish it. We need to foster it. And we need to make their jobs easier. And you can do that by giving them more people.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Others?
Anybody sign up who did not hear their name get called?
Anyone else that didn't sign up, come on up. Get the last word. At least for tonight. Come on, no, let this guy speak now, please. Come on, Mr. West.
My name is Robert West. I'm with Film the Police 911. And I came to speak about freedom of speech. Part of our government is people being able to speak and understand what's going on. Freedom of expression. Something that the city doesn't really appreciate or tolerate, but that's the way it is. But what's bothered me is that you guys saved this for so long and so late that a lot of people had to leave. That just boggles my mind because you guys basically censored a whole bunch of people. Whole bunch of people discussing what's going on. I don't know if it's the bank accounts. I don't know if it's, you know, corporate money going to you guys or what. But somehow something got really messed up because, you know, 2 hours, 2.5 hours late on an agenda item is ridiculous. It is thoughtless to the people. It is thoughtless to the CRC board and should not be tolerated.
You know. Thank you very much. Okay.
I'm certain, not 2 hours delayed, folks.
I want to get the chance the auditor to come back up and answer some questions. Mr. Davis, you're done. I want to let the auditor come back up, okay? You'll have to ask them. Could you all please let the auditor come back up, please? Folks, could we let the auditor come back up? Thank you. Okay.
Start buying pizzas for people if you're going to make us wait this long. Okay.
So we have had a hearing that, as people have noted, got delayed quite a bit because a lot of things got put on the calendar today. So one of the things I want to suggest is that we continue this hearing. But for a number of reasons. One, I've heard some things in the testimony here that I find very persuasive, particularly CRC members themselves saying that they believe we should maintain the opportunity for public comment. We've obviously heard a lot of agreement about that. I like the suggestion for some kind of a citizen task force, perhaps including Portland Cop Watch, the League of Women Voters, Albina Ministerial Alliance, and others. So my reaction to what we've heard so far is that you've got some good ideas in your proposal, but there's some pretty strong agreement in the community about ways to improve this. Yes. So my question is, you know, do you feel that way, and do other council members feel that way, and what would you recommend as the next steps?
If I might speak before the audit, if you don't mind, because I am reminded of 2010 when there was a very similar hearing to this. And I remember it particularly because my father fell downstairs and died, and I was not able to go to his funeral because of the importance of this very issue, and I was needed to be the third vote to say that we should set up the task force and we should be looking at all the things that we could do. And I know that you've put an enormous amount of work into this. The Citizens Review Board folks have also. The difference with the focus groups that you've had over the last several months was that they weren't open to the public to listen in on the discussion, whereas the task force that we had in 2010 was. And in that process, Commissioner Leonard worked with Auditor Levon Griffin Villade to decide who should be on the stakeholder group. He and she both participated, and it didn't take all that long because we gave them, I think it was League of Women Voters to remind me. It wasn't a very long process because I think they met once a week for 3 weeks to come back with a proposal. And I'm wondering, even if the proposal comes back as exactly what you have, maybe it won't, if you would be willing to do that kind of a process of bringing stakeholders around a table and having meetings which people could observe but not comment on because of the work of the task force.
These conversations have been going on for over a year, and I think that the proposal that I brought here today is addressing some very immediate needs. We had an executive work session. We discussed three options. You all suggested that we have the consolidated model, which we started to put together the pieces of that. We had a meeting with the Citizen Review Committee to explain that concept and how the pieces would have to come together. They could weigh in at the ground level of that concept. And that decision was dropped. And so I have brought this as a substitute, as one of the other ideas that was discussed at that session. If you would like to continue a broader conversation around these issues, I'm happy for you to do that. You are the policymakers. If we're going to have broad changes to the system, it will come from you. It will not come from me. I do not set policy. I do not have a vote on council. And so if you all would like to continue those conversations, which I understood that there is interest in continuing those conversations, that I think that those should go on, but I do think we have some immediate needs that we need to address, and that's what these changes that we brought today do. And so, for example, the way that the cases would be handled, to move those through the system more quickly, we do need to have the authority and code to do that for the have the more serious cases stay with internal affairs and independent police review, and the less serious cases be handled at the supervisory level. That all has to be put into code to have the appeals, the frequency of appeals heard. I mean, we could schedule 11 people to come 3 or 4 times in a month. I don't think that's going to work. I think the three-member panels address that immediate need to increase the frequency. We have a backlog today through June of next year. So taking time to do a larger thing probably would have to be done in parallel to the proposal that is in front of you today.
So I do appreciate that you went back and made some changes after the public forum that we had in North Portland. The problem is that we've heard yet again from everybody that they don't support what you've put forward as the policy choice. So, and I hear you that we need to manage the system differently. I mean, the very concern about the three-member panel, we did hear some people who thought that might be sufficient, but then it was pointed out that with the current members of the CRC that there might be the possibility that there wouldn't be enough difference of opinion. And I know here we are, the three of us who are staying here at 7 o'clock at night. We would have to, if we wanted to vote on this tonight, we would have to all three be unanimous. You can't have two people making a decision that the whole body is supposed to make. So I think your suggestion is wise to continue the hearing. As to whether we continue it to have more comments on this proposal or whether you'd be willing to look at a rapid process, because these are all things that we've been discussing for a very long time.
Yes, they are.
So that was why I was asking Mr. Tsevier to kind of speed up your initial presentation, because although there are definitely always new people coming and participating, there's a lot of folks here who've been at this for a very long time.
Well, I like your suggestions a lot, Commissioner. And again, I heard a lot of agreement here in the room, not only that you've made some progress in the proposal that you developed, but that there are a relatively short list of other issues that need to be properly aired with stakeholders and perhaps changed. I'm not persuaded the three-member panels are the right size. I've heard good suggestions here that increasing the size of the CRC and having five-member panels might be a compromise that more people would be willing to accept. I don't know if that's getting it right or not, but I think we're close, given what we've heard, again, from fairly diverse group of folks that were able to speak tonight, not to mention the ones that weren't here, but to have this much agreement between the AMA, Cop Watch, League of Women Voters, the CRC themselves, and other folks that have paid a lot of attention to this issue. You know, I deeply respect the people that have come here today, and people like T.J. Browning have been talking to me about these issues for a very long time. So I think there's the opportunity here for a pretty high level of agreement about reforms and changes. So I'm optimistic about that, not simply, thinking that a task force could make something out of a mess. This isn't a
right.
mess.
Right. I would agree that it's three or four issues. But the one I want to add to your list is the issue of looking at the whole timeline and finding out where the other blocks are. The one I've questioned is, why does the chief need to have 2 weeks to make his or her decision? That seems completely out of whack with the nine-member body having to come together to make theirs. So that those are, I think you've encapsulated the things, a list of five or less of things that
standard
we would ask the stakeholder.
Standard review is a little gnarlier, group. But those are all good issues to address. Steve, any comments or guidance?
Well, my comment is, Mayor, I don't share with your optimism. I don't think that there will ever be a proposal on this issue that has consensus support. I think there's too wide a variety of views and too much passion on the issue. Three-judge panels, I have to say, to be honest to me, that's what the courts of appeals in the United States, judicial system have. That didn't strike me as inherently wrong. And it sounds like it seems to me it would be much easier to get three people to meet periodically than to get 11 or even five. I was interested in the fact that the current CRC members did not see a problem with having public comment at the appeals. And it's like at some point like a refresher on why we thought that was, why the auditor thought it was important to delete that. I did have a question for Constantine and the auditor, which is, how many people applied to be on the CRC the last time there were openings?
Around 18.
How many?
18.
And how many openings were there?
Three.
That's good. That's helpful. Well, so it is late, and both the folks that are paid to be here and the folks that came here would like some clarity about where we go next. So I want to suggest we continue this hearing. And so the question is, when can we continue it to that we won't run into the problem that we ran into today? Because that would certainly be outrageous. So is there a date coming up where we could put this back on the council calendar and in the meantime perhaps look at the question of some kind of a task force?
The next
days, less than 30 days.
The next day we have all five commissioners in is September 29th. And that would be 3 p.m.
We're not here. Neither Constantine or I are here.
What's that?
We're attending a conference of the National Association.
Okay. You need to be here. So September 29th doesn't work. What about a week after that?
Commissioner Saltzman and Novick are gone some of that week.
That week?
Yes.
So what about the week of the 10th?
I don't have any room on that next week.
You mean we've got full council calendars both days?
The 12th. In the 13th, yes.
Okay, let's look at the
weekend. Perhaps we might as well, in the meantime, set up the stakeholder group.
We might want to have a stakeholder group in the meantime. So here's what we're going to do, folks. We're not going to pick that date tonight. We're going to continue this hearing indefinitely, but in the meantime, we're probably going to appoint a stakeholder group. So bear with us. We'll give that plenty of time for people to know when this gets continued to, but we won't try to figure that out right here this evening. Thank you all. We're going to conclude this hearing for now and adjourn.
Thank you. Good call.